The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Footy.
Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio.
The footy's on Triple M.
And your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato, never send a boy to do a van's job with low floor height and a 2.1-tonne payload. Fiat Ducato is your right-hand van.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub
for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
Just out of hand pass to Cameron. Snapped around the corner. The Crows are on the board. Forced to Eddie Betts. Throws it on the left boot. Betts magnificently rove. Cameron traps it. Runs in. Betts around the corner. Cameron has got five in a preliminary final.
Mitchell should mark it. Over the top. Danger.
Oh!
Sloan knocked him out. Sloan's knocked Danger out.
Wow, what a moment in this game.
In comes Seedsman. He's got two in a row to seed from nowhere. Oh, this is ridiculous from Adelaide. They are absolutely on fire.
Charlie Cameron's going to have a fly.
Oh! What a grab, Charlie Cameron.
Walker bends it round the corner. What a finish by the skipper.
And what a night for the Adelaide Football Club. They booked themselves a berth in the 2017 Grand Final, the Adelaide Crows.
Ah, nice 61-point demolition of Geelong by Adelaide. Home prelim final. They march into their first grand final since 1998. And that's not something you and I need to remind ourselves of, Duck. Yeah, we'll just park that for a second. But amazing game last night as we welcome the best team in the business. Wayne Carey, of course, superstar, former captain of the Kangaroos. Nath Brown, superstar, former small electric forward for Richmond and the Western Bulldogs.
Medium size.
I'll go with small electric. In the modern era, Nath. Good to see you always. Damien Barrett, the newsbreaker extraordinaire. Welcome to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim.
And the man who was christened the Lou Richards medalist during the week, which we absolutely love, Bristle. It's not something I focus on until one of our people win, then I get excited. Well done to you, and beautifully called last night. Nice to have you here as well.
Thank you, JB. Yeah, it's a great night there. Bubbling at Adelaide Oval. When I say bubbling, I mean bubbling over. A record crowd there, beyond belief, the noise, the atmosphere that was generated there. It's hard to believe that that's going to be surpassed today, probably at the MCG.
Yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? Over 50,000, majority obviously for the Crows. Couldn't be proud of my old club, Brownie.
My old club. You're an absolute stalwart.
Listen to this.
Going into a grand final, I'm just so proud, BT. And apparently they want me to go down there. I've got to get there a bit earlier, grand final day. I'll be doing the Rub grand final day, but apparently they want me there, sort of a bit of a guard of honour. Ex-champions of the club too, as the team runs out.
You're just going to push Rupert aside, push Nigel Smart aside, and just jam yourself in the front.
Firewalker.
Well, let's be honest. Not only did I sort of go there and give them 2 years' service, but I also gave them a grand final in 98. I sort of played a pretty big part in that.
So I'll tell you what I have noticed with the final series, and this weekend in particular, preliminary final, probably the best weekend of the final series.
Yep.
And there are more people watching the TV over this final series than any other. And I've noticed that our man over there, Brian, has had the haircut. He knows that the cameras are out. He knows there's going to be more people watching him. The moustache is trimmed to
right
within
up.
A millimetre of its life right now, Brian.
I left Adelaide at 4:30 this morning, JB.
Oh,
so
geez.
6 o'clock flight this morning, up 4:30. Bang, onto that. Here, arrived at 7:55 a.m.
To prepare for this.
Into the Y Salon down in Windsor.
Oh, here we go.
At 8:30, my private hairdresser down there, Nick, able to trim me up, and then I got a nice head massage and the whole thing.
Ducks.
And then it set me back 180.
Hang on, 180 for that.
180.
180. Wow. Moustache erection.
And didn't decide to just go a little bit of colour.
Spoke to him about the colour. I said, well, hold off the and
Duck,
we'll try and work it back.
What in. I have noticed about your main man here is a lot of this last week's been all about him.
Oh, yes.
Now,
as
this is
ever.
Prelim final week where we normally focus on the game
and
the players.
Let's do it then.
And instead of that, I turn on Tuesday night
well,
and it's half an hour devoted to our man. and as earnest a bristle as I've seen for a very long time.
You know what? It was
serious off.
So now I understand why it was quiet in the meeting that we had 10 minutes ago. And I yelled out to JB, what are we talking about?
I don't need anything today,
said,
bristle.
No, we've got it.
It was a very, sort of well-dressed.
Wasn't it, Just?
Most well-dressed guest on open mic ever. They got the tie on. Very sophisticated sort of a broadcaster was Brian.
What did you get out of it, BT? Because you don't do anything for nothing. And you gave Mike nothing.
I didn't get anything out of it. I was asked to by the network in exchange for Jonathan Brown coming on 7. So it was something
you
that
did
had
it
to be
for
done.
The good of the network.
I did it for the good of the network.
What I liked, Duck, was about 3/4 of the way through, I just got the sense that Mike was drifting off the subject to bristle onto something else. So Brian just brought it back. I'll just get it back onto why I'm here. It was very, very nice.
Anyway, but just 11 of the last 12 minor premiers have made it into the grand final now. Do you know that?
Who was the one that missed?
Port Adelaide?
Frio,
the only ones that missed. So,
the one plank of the two-leg plank that the AFL would really like, despite effectively running GWS, is getting Richmond through. That's their dream result for so many reasons, and number one being financial.
Yes, of course, and we love it too. I mean, we put all bias aside, of course, in this room, the Richard Muslin Studios, but we want to see a Melbourne team in the grand final.
If Adelaide play GWS,
there's no doubt.
Do they still get 100,000?
They fill it out, but they just don't make as much on the 100,000.
Or just under. But wouldn't that be sort of ironic? The AFL, who tips so much money and have created this new team, GWS, and then they've got this powerhouse in Richmond, which will clearly make the grand final unbelievable. So why wouldn't they want... I know you're saying monetary, but they're tipping a stack of money. Wouldn't this then lift GWS to a new level and obviously get more support and everything else, so therefore they don't have to tip as much? So in the long run, probably they would prefer GWS.
I reckon they're thinking they're going to get there anyway, more than 2 or 3 times in the next 5 years. Whereas Richmond, if they get in this year, not only, as Damo says, does it help Saturday enormously, not that it always needs help the 2 hours, but around that, around the hotels, around the pubs, around the restaurants, around the Melbourne economy, what Richmond will do to get into a grand final to the city will be electric.
And not only that, Brownie's got to tell me something you don't know a little bit later. Hello. It's going to help a lot of Richmond people, isn't it, Brownie?
Yeah, it is, very much so.
Now, tell us, last night, you boys were watching. We're going to get to Tex Walker, by the way. He's in the next segment, so we'll speak to the big skipper of Adelaide, who'll be nice and up and about. Wayne Campbell, also going to join us, GWS head of footy. Chris Judd, apparently a late entrant for the grand final entertainment. You thought the Killers are going to light it up. Judd, he might be able to tell us something else that's coming up on grand final day, and a quiz that BT will run, which will give you your last look at grand final tickets. And now that Adelaide are in, Brownie, they are not going to exist, grand final tickets. They're all over it from across the border. Tell us about last night. Now, Damo, we did, if we can wind back a week, we did say put danger forward again at your peril, because if you don't win contested footy, suddenly he's got his 8-day clock in his hand, I think was the quote.
I think you did say that about this time last Saturday.
That is exactly what happened, Doug.
I think you used a different name.
You said penis.
I brought it back a touch this week. I've learnt my lesson. But it was always dangerous to me, Duck, going to that well again.
You know what? Too smart for their own good. I totally agree. And he started deep full forward. I said Hardigan during the week. A lot of people didn't think so. But they never got the ball there. And within a few minutes, he was already up at centre-half forward. So he's already came up the ground to sort of get closer to the action. They had to pull the trigger a little bit earlier, because his second quarter
electric
was unbelievable. Yeah. So, yep, you're right. It bit him on the bum.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he had to kick that goal early, it was 2-0, and he missed it, which was easy. Very similar spot to last week. Maybe that first quarter they might have been able to get up and about a bit, but he just didn't finish it off.
It's the only chink in his armour, isn't it? This is your area, Bristol. It's the only thing he doesn't get right, Danger, I reckon, consistently, is that to set shot
kicking. Well, he's kicking all round. In fact, he's kicking on the run as well. It's not fantastic. It's penetrating and he gets length and all that sort of thing, but he's not a brilliant kick by any means. You're right, it is the deficiency in his game.
I'll tell you what, though, the Crows, talk about kicking. They're kicking last night. Their ability to be able to change angles.
Yeah.
And their short kicking last night.
So now this is really important, because this is what they did in the first quarter last night, for the whole game, but in the first quarter, got it at halfback and they chip it. Tell us what you mean about change direction.
They might go down the line to a short kick, then they can come back into the corridor, then they can go wide again back into the corridor. And what that does at all times is it shifts Geelong's defence. So Geelong don't know where they're going. So They go wide. The Geelong defence slides across to cover that. So the zone slides. Then they're able to chip. And then when they want to go, then they go. And then they go to space in the forward line. And they get one-on-ones by just simply changing angles with those kicks. And they're very good at it. And they hit every single – probably Hardigan's the only one that missed his target a couple of times and turnover. But Geelong, when they got the turnover, which was rare, but when they got them, especially in the first quarter where the game was won – when they got them, that very next kick, they turned it straight back over under no pressure.
What I noticed early, Duck, particularly in the first quarter, a lot of clubs try and bring the ball into the middle just every time they get the footy. Adelaide got the ball in the middle and they were darting it out to the wings, and they had players, as soon as they went into the coalface, they had players sprinting to the wings. And I mean, Seedsman was one of those. Brad Crouch was another one. Charlie Cameron was another one. They win it in the middle and they had no problems going wide and then into their forward 50, and they did it brilliantly.
Brownie, I want to get from you with Duck and also BT in a moment your thoughts on who performed poorly for the Cats and what it means for their futures. But Chris Scott, Jim, took this team to a prelim final last year, second on the ladder, home and away post this year. Then had a final in week one against Richmond, lost by 51 points, and lost last night by 61 points. And now it's happened again. Where are they at after a preliminary final? Lost Chris Scott last night on that.
I hope that no one associated with Geelong falls into the trap of thinking that we were close again, we've just got to improve a little bit to go the next step, because the cold hard reality is we've got to go back to the start again. And there are some really good football teams with a lot of talent who didn't even make the eight this year, who I suspect will get better. So I wish we could just fast forward to the prelim final next year, but we've got so much work in front of us, you know, to even make the finals before we start talking about how we're going to improve at the pointy end of the series.
Go back to the start. Does it change their recruiting policies? They're in for Stringer, they're in for Ablett, they were in for Devin Smith. What do you think that means, BT?
Well, that Simon Lloyd is the one that interests me, Bristol, because he's now taken over from Stephen Hocking. I think it's much more an issue for him than Chris Scott, what they do in the next 3 years.
Well, the reports are that Ablett's going to land there and that deal's already done.
They're too invested emotionally and it's done.
So he has to play forward then.
So they're just waiting for that. Right. So you
just remove him as an...
I think he's got to play predominantly forward if Ablett
like
goes
his dad
there.
That's
what they need.
Yeah, okay.
Is he happy to do that?
I don't know.
How does that affect Hawkins?
So is that enough? No, it's not enough. Because
Lonigan, Mackie retiring.
You've got Hawkins, Stanley, Blitzarves. You're talking about the players that perhaps didn't produce last night.
Hawkins, no good.
So Hawkins, Stanley, Blitzarves. Just those three. And there's probably more. Now, those three are still going to be there next year. You know, they need to find consistency. If you look at both teams last night, the team that you couldn't trust was Geelong. Mm. You could trust Adelaide. You knew what they were going to deliver. But you couldn't trust Geelong. So how do they improve the trust, which is consistency, getting those players to play better with what they've got?
But it's always been the concern, and we always speak about it. We always say their reliance on their best players is far too heavy. And if you look at Richmond and you look at Adelaide, they don't rely on anyone. Tex Walker was very good last night, but he wasn't like...
He didn't dominate
they
the
don't,
game.
They don't need Tex to be absolutely brilliant. They don't need Sloan. They get contributions from everyone, and that's what Geelong have failed to do. Duncan's gone into the... Duncan was good again last night.
Yep.
So he's elevated himself.
Yep.
Motlop has been really good the last
2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks
really good, Doug.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But he's probably not going to be there either,
still
Doug.
But
just to get these people in,
so there's another one.
There's the currency they're going to have to get out. So.
Yeah, so there's another one that might not be there. So there's too many of that middle tier that have let them down. That's
and the other
key
thing that worried us, Duck, was the likes of Cockatoo. So one game, one half of one game in 14 weeks. Stanley, one game in, I think, 4 or 5 weeks. Mm. That's a worry going to a big prelim final.
My
as well.
Simon Lloyd issued purple is they have sold the farm. Whether Cookie wants to try and hang on to a paddock, they have given the join up. Yeah. They got no first round pick this, so they get 21, I think, or 22
pick
or something
20
like that.
Pick 20 is where it's there. It's Carlton's second pick.
And I'd be surprised if they're getting Jake Stringer in that they're going to hang on to that. I can't see how they can hang on to that.
Oh, they lose that if they get Stringer.
So if they get, that means they've got nothing out of last draft, not of any significance, nothing out of this one coming up, and they've got a list that's now pretty old.
So, fair to say their kids aren't in the top eight. I don't think they're in the top half when it comes to kids. Murdoch hasn't come on. A lot of young players at that footy club. You look at Richmond's young list at the moment. They're miles ahead of them. Adelaide's young players coming through. Even Hawthorne, who at the start of this year didn't look like they had young players, now they have them coming through. Geelong don't have them.
Just on your point, BT, and yours too, Jim, about what they need to do in the really big picture. They did finish second. This time last week, they just dismantled the team that everyone at this stage thought was going to win a premiership in Sydney Swans. So now, a week later, we're now looking at them very differently. Do they just need to tinker? Does Albert coming in?
They had to do something out of the ordinary last week. Chris Scott had to change everything they did all year to produce a match-winning performance out of their superstar. And you can't do that every week. You can't change every week.
But
you need
Ablett,
to have the same thing every week in, week out. You can't formulate one win out of nowhere and then do what they did either side of that against Richmond and last night.
Richmond are the greatest example of whether you can turn it around with a couple of really good decisions.
Prestia,
Caddy, Nankervis, Prestia. Look at that. I mean, that sums it up right there. And then obviously, but Brownie, what they did have though, they had those smaller forwards that come in, the Butlers, the Constanias, and these guys that have come in and done really well. Now, do Geelong have those as well?
But all Richmond's done at this point is what Geelong had done, and that is make a preliminary final. If they lose tonight, we might be talking about Richmond. Those young kids, those small kids don't get it done.
Yeah. So on JB's point, I want to put it to you two, Brownie and Duck. So Ablett apparently done, right? So if Ablett is available and Stringer is available, which one are you going to take?
I'm going to take Jake Stringer.
Because JB said they haven't got the value to be able to take two.
I'm going to take Jake Stringer.
You can take two. You can
just
take
for longevity. Just for longevity.
You're just going to take Stringer, Duff?
For me, it's got to be, you don't know what, is Stringer going to go there and train hard? That's it. If I knew I could trust Stringer and he's going to put the work in, then I'd take Stringer. But if he's just going to go there and
here's my thing on Stringer.
Go through the motions.
If I were coaching, I would love the challenge of taking on Stringer and turning him around. His things have basically been family problems. All this nonsense about him missing training is an absolute load of garbage.
It's not, Brian. It's part of the conversation.
But it's not true. The part about him missing training is not true. If you're a coach out there, Damo, well, put it on the table. How do you know it's true?
He was late for training.
Yeah. How many times?
Multiple.
Multiple times he was late for training. Yeah. And how do you know that?
Because he's got an awareness of the problems
that
he had.
How do you know that?
He was late for training.
Because I dispute that.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
By speaking with him.
Well, I have spoken to Jake.
Mm. Yeah. And so have I.
Yeah, so have I.
And he denies it.
Right.
So
yeah, and everyone talks openly on the public record.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you ring people at football clubs, you think they're telling you the truth, but they don't.
Hmm.
So how can you be sure that what you're saying is right?
Anyway, move on. They will have to give, as Jim says, pick 20 to get him and how they get Ablett.
Besides all of that, if anyone's got any brains at all, they'll look at Stringer and they'll make a decision of whether they can reel him in or not. And if they think they can, and I reckon it would be a great bet for someone to be able to do it.
I totally agree. I reckon Geelong's the perfect fit for them, for him, sorry, to be honest, because they've got strong leadership. Joel Selwood and Dangerfield. Simple.
Well, and I would be putting Jake Stringer at halfback to replace Mackie. I wouldn't even be playing him in the forward line.
Need to get the Texan on next. For me, Purple, I think Chris Scott's an amazingly good coach. I think they're an amazingly well-run footy department. Simon Lloyd is the man with the challenge ahead. Next 3 or 4 years, how he resets that club to remain as sustained success as they've had. They've been in 8 prelim finals.
So would you try and take them back?
I just think that will take all of his next month to work that out. Yeah. They've been an extraordinary club, Geelong. Congratulations to them. 8 prelims is amazing.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Still gives me goosebumps when I talk about Phil. I don't reckon there'd be a day that I don't drive the footy club and think either do it for Phil or just think of him for some reason. I think it's just because I've got a unique connection with him. So he's an amazing person. Like, I've got a lot of respect for him.
That's Tex Walker, the captain of the Adelaide Footy Club, talking about the incredible influence Phil Walsh still has over the club and this playing group, and it was evident last night in what was a sensational performance, and I'm sure he'll be with this playing group all week as they head into their first grand final since 1998. And the superstar skipper joins us now. Tex, welcome.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Now, are you pinching yourself this morning, great man? It must be a great feeling. Right from the first second last night, your boys were on, and it was impressive to watch.
Yeah, obviously pinched myself to be in a grand final next week. And we set ourselves up for a fast start because Geelong obviously bounced Sydney last weekend and we're in pretty good form. So we're expecting them to come over and start well as well. So we're super impressed with the way we started the game.
What was the planning around Dangerfield? Obviously, being in the midfield or being forward, it was a big talk of the week. Tex, take us through pre-game, what you'd planned for him.
Oh, obviously, if he played forward, obviously the defenders would have spoken about who was going to play on him. And in the midfield, we just sort of duties as per usual. So he's a good player, but we just wanted to play our structure and play to our systems. And we know that over the course of the year, when we do that, it works for us.
Hey, Tex, the two Crouch boys, they have just been unbelievable. looking at the start of the year, you looked at your forward line, you looked at your defence, you said solid, but have you got enough depth through the middle of the ground? Those two have been unbelievable, and they were sensational last night.
Yeah, look, mate, I not at all, for pre-season, the first few rounds, I had no doubt in my mind in our midfield, because I knew the quality that we had through there. It's just going to show exactly what we've got through there. And obviously, Sloaney coming back from appendicitis, he was outstanding last night. And so are the two Crouch boys and Douglas and the guys through there. So we've got a really unique balance through our midfield. And that was super tough last night. Gave us a good look at it, forward of the footy.
Hey, we've been speaking about the way you guys use the footy off halfback, the way you change angles. You go wide, you come back through the corridor. You're quite happy, as Brownie has said earlier today, to win the ball in the middle of the ground and then go to the wing. As the key in that forward line, as a centre-half forward, does that make it easier or harder for you at times? Because the ball does go from one direction to the other. And obviously you've led thinking it's going one way. And then obviously the space opens up and you've got to go the other way. Is it difficult at times?
Oh, the first half, personally, for me, was a bit hard and frustrating because I felt like I was presenting well but not getting used. But what was happening was we were drawing defenders, which was allowing us to come back through the corridor. So if you play your role and do that, then like we saw last night, Charlie Cameron kicked five, Eddie Betts kicked his couple, I kicked a couple. So we've just got an even contribution. So it's it probably sounds a bit boring, but the 22 guys that we've played every week has just been able to play their role and contribute just as well as anyone
Texan,
else.
Texan, that's Bull Twang. You were wide
Sorry,
open.
Jim.
You were wide open about seven times. Your own players put a flamethrower to you. I'd be saying to them this week, the grand final's about me. When I'm open, I don't care where I am. I want the pill.
Yeah, obviously I'll give a couple of boys a little bit of a.
That's better.
Always put the binoculars in front of your eyes and look. We'll certainly enjoy it, Jim. That's for sure.
Hey, Tex, the resilience of you particularly, or specifically, and your footy club generically, just over what you've been through, Dean Bailey's passing, Philip Walsh's passing, as you spoke about out of the ad break there on your own platform last week, the departures of friends and key players, Tippett, Davis, Dangerfield, Gunston, you've been there the whole time. You've held this club together. I know you'll have time for reflection beyond next week, but how resilient have you been required to be?
I think everyone's probably been in the footy environment that's on today, and that's why we play footy. You rock up and you do something that you love doing, and footy clubs sort of eat you up and spit you out if you're not resilient, so you're sort of forced upon it. But look, we've been through a lot as a footy club, and our culture just continues to build and get stronger and stronger. And with our footy club, we draft character over talent. So if we can get great character within our footy club, that's what makes footy clubs tick.
And just yourself, I mean, again, you've been so passionate about your own love of the club, as others have left for personal reasons, which are their own doing. But How have you found those people leaving? And when you refer to character there, what is it, if you can encapsulate the word character by way of the specifics of the Crows?
Oh, people that want to work hard and people that have good morals and create and drive standards within our footy club. And I grew up banking for the Adelaide Footy Club, and I'm so lucky enough to be here 10 years into my career, a week out from playing the grand final. So I keep pinching myself. I went to bed about 2:30 last night, and I was up at 5:30 annoying my girlfriend in bed. I just couldn't sleep. I was just too excited. So we'll try and keep the week as planned as possible and as normal as we can, but once we get over to Melbourne, it's just, you got to enjoy it. That's what it'll be all about.
Tell us, Phil Walsh, I look at your club, Texan. The turnaround started with his arrival. Give us the one thing that he instilled in you as a player and you as a group that has stayed with you till now.
Oh, I probably similar things I just said before, just hard work and character. And he was enormous on driving standards. And there are two or three things that he's sort of encapsulated in me, and something that I'll definitely carry on for the rest of my life. And we were lucky enough last night, Meredith actually come down the rooms, and I'm sure he'll be looking over us, drinking his green tea and with his red bathers on that he used to wear all the time. So he'll definitely be watching over us next week.
I also love, Duck, the way Don Pike, the current coach, embraces the legacy left by Phil Walsh. Yeah. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey, I want to ask you, and this is, it's a serious question, because big jerker Jenkins. People
when
think,
you say it's a serious question, I don't know whether
people think people think I've ridden him hard over the last couple of years, and I probably have. And then this year there was a moment, it was against Carlton, I think he had 10 tackles, he played well, he's changed the way he plays. But in saying that, all of you guys in that forward line and as a footy club are so unselfish, and at times big jerker, when it's the first give, doesn't give it. Is that something that you know? One, do you notice it on the ground? Is it something that you need to have a chat to him about? Because so often there's a give for him to give it to, and he doesn't do it.
I think there's times we've all been in that situation where
you and Eddie, and others in that forward line give it straight away. He doesn't.
Oh, well, I'll pass that on. I'll just won't go for the first lead. I'll wait for it and then go second lead.
No, I'm not.
I think he's the best ruck forward in the game at the moment. And he's playing an unbelievable role for us. He's obviously been through a little bit himself and transitioned into that position. But he's been enormous for us.
Yeah, it's not a criticism of his whole play. Like, I agree with you. Three quarters of what he does is very good. But there's just those small things. I mean, Eddie will pass it to him every time you do. You all throw it around. And
he just likes a goal, mate.
I know. We all like a goal, but sometimes you've got to give a goal off.
Hey, Tex, what about the MCG and the makeup of the ground and the way it's shaped and looked? Do you feel comfortable there? You've played there three times this year. You've had, two wins and a draw, I think, you've had there this year. What do you make of the G and the way it's shaped and the way you play?
Oh, it's going to be an oval, a couple of goals at each end.
Yes, we know that, Tex.
It's probably a little bit wider than Adelaide Oval, so we've traditionally played pretty well there the last couple of years, so we're definitely coming in with a lot of confidence, BT.
Hey, Tex, your footy club was probably questioned at the start of the year over its hardness and how aggressive you guys are. Richmond, a pretty similar scenario, and if you do play them next week, but I thought over the course of this year, your side became the hardest side to play against defensively and offensively. And then last night, I thought the niggle you gave Geelong, the aggressive nature you clashed bodies with them, was just amazingly different from where you were last year.
Yeah, you look at our first 6 weeks, we played some real attacking style footy. Then we got challenged through our contested stuff. And once again, our character showed that if you work hard and put everything on the table, then you can get through that period of challenge or getting challenged from the opposition. And we've come out on the other side phenomenally well. And I think our three facets of the game in contest, defence and attack is in a great position. But we've created this opportunity, so let's take it with both hands.
When Sloaney sat danger on his arse, did he stay down a bit, Tex, or how did you see it?
Oh, did he stay down? It was like he was up on the someone was doing a bridge climb, a roof climb, sniping him. It was just two blokes going bloody hard at the footy, and I loved it. That's what footy's about.
So he'll be playing in the grand final, Rory, in your eyes, Tex?
Why wouldn't he be?
Exactly. Just wondering.
We're with you, Tex. Don't worry about that. I just I enjoyed the physical nature of the contest, and I just wondered if one was down a bit longer than the other. That's all, Texan.
Yeah, well, we probably know who's the tougher one out of there, don't we?
Hey, mate, have a fantastic week. It has been a glorious run for your footy club. Been the best team in the comp all year, deserved grand finalists, and, well, Duck will tell you what being a captain of a grand final team is all about. It's going to be fantastic.
Soak it up, Tex, and bring home the flag for my old club.
Good boy. Thanks, boys. Thanks very much for having me, and go the Crowleys.
Good on you, Tex.
Good luck. Gee, Duck, you're a bit... You can't even, like, you know, why that question? And so
what?
You took a 5-minute build up to ask a simple question. Does he give the handball or doesn't he?
Well, I sort of didn't want to.
It was a long question, though.
It was almost Dermot like.
You were trying to skirt around the edges. You're trying to soften something that can't be softened.
We had Tex on for 10 minutes and you spoke for 7.
We're going
Hang on. I've got a.
You had the Mark Soderstroms about you.
No one loves Roaming Brian more than myself, of course, something we actually started on this station years ago. Bristol, of course, you went down as Whispering Brian. Mm. Did a magnificent job down in the rooms back then. I've only got one suggestion for you with the segment, and that is you never go to Craig Kelly, otherwise known as Ned, again. The world's most boring man. It gave you nothing when he had an opportunity to give you something. It's all he's got in life is to remotely entertain, because the rest of him is just a galumph. And my suggestion is you never affront him again with
never
a microphone.
Never again. He's had 2 goes this year and that'll be it. I went over to him and said, gee, you know, your son's in a grand final. You were in a grand final.
Yep.
Boo.
Was he that boring when you played with him?
Yeah. He was just a total bore.
He's got a long way to go.
His attitude to me last night was a disgrace. Yeah.
Good. We'll wipe him.
I'm never going to
give him nothing.
Again. That's it.
No, I'm with you. I'd appreciate you going down that path. Adelaide, we haven't seen the game today, obviously, Duck, but they now will be, I would imagine, firm favourites no matter who wins today, and deservedly so.
Yeah, well, they finished on top of the ladder, and they've proved that, the two buys, the buy at the end of the round and then obviously winning that first final hasn't affected them whatsoever. They were running on top of the ground. They looked as sharp as anything. The big thing for them now is over-selection. It's McGovern. And my understanding, BT, were there last night. Apparently, they're going to give him every chance. They're going to, on Wednesday if
Duck,
he can go flat knacker, and I mean flat knacker, and I dare say it'll be a test like no other.
Well, here's something for
you. If he gets through that, he'll play.
Anyone that's ever strained a hamstring, and we're told that this is a little worse than what we've been led to believe, hamstrings are 3 weeks. And you do not play after 1 week.
If it's worse, he won't play.
But so if he gets, but BT,
if it's anything more than tightness, he doesn't play.
But if he gets through, let's say he gets through a rigorous training session.
And that's the plan, Doug.
Rigorous training session on Wednesday. Are you saying that you still wouldn't play him just in case?
No, I'm saying if you've strained a hamstring, he won't play. If he's had a hamstring tightness,
I get what you're saying. But if he gets through training on Wednesday, you still wouldn't play him. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if he's strained his hamstring, he simply won't play. So don't even bother talking
about
it.
We're not talking about the playing. We're talking about him getting through a training session.
No,
and if he
gets through the training session, he plays. Of course he
does. Well, that's all I asked you.
But what I'm saying to you is he won't get through the training session, because if it's right and he has strained his hamstring, he won't get there.
Can't take injured players into finals, Browning. For me,
name the last
saying,
1 week hamstring you've seen play.
It's too big a risk. Yeah. And they're going so well.
And even if he does get through the Wednesday, he's
still
going
wouldn't
to
risk
tighten
him.
Up. He's going to tighten up a couple of days later. The worst thing it could possibly do is against Richmond, if it is Richmond, to have one man down early and hamstrings go early. It's not going to go in the third or the last quarter. It will go early.
So Otten stays in then. So that no change?
Well,
no,
again, do you keep Otten in, Duck, if it is Richmond and they're
Malira,
that's the interesting one, isn't it? Miller,
because
Otten plays for me.
Yeah. Otten plays for you.
Yep.
I think it depends. I agree. I think it depends who you play. Yeah. If you're playing Richmond, I make the change. If you're playing GWS, I'd probably go taller.
You tell Otten then. Interesting with
I don't have to.
Interesting with Duck that he's turned himself into an ex-Adelaide champion.
He has, yes.
Brownie just said
it's Richmond. Richmond.
That's it, I know. Neither of them had any impact at the clubs they're at.
And it was we last year.
Hang on, but you had impacts at both of yours. Which one did you have most impact at?
Well, pretty evenly spread across the board.
Was it even, was it? Well, I actually averaged more goals for the Crows than I did for North Melbourne.
I kicked 80 in 1 year. Richmond. Then I think I kicked 100 at China and 80 and 90.
Pretty good going, Bristol.
I would have thought, duck.
Well, so let's just spend a couple of minutes focusing on Adelaide, then we'll move on to today's game and the other stuff we're doing. Brownie, what will set them up for next Saturday and get them winning the game, in your opinion? What are they doing better than anyone else?
What they're doing better than anybody else is it's a full ground. Yes, Brian.
So what are they doing?
It is a full ground movement what they do. They don't have any weaknesses in their back end because they're very solid down there. Their midfield through the Crouch boys, they win more footy than anything, I think.
Source.
And their forward end is brilliant. So their whole thing is to win the contested footy next week. And it's simple. You've got to win the contested footy early in grand finals. If they can do that, take it away from Richmond. Richmond's real strength is obviously their forward end of the ground.
Well, Brownie's already got that. Richmond in there, Granny. The GWS.
Yeah, I do actually, yeah.
Ex-champion.
Love it. Well, we are very excited for the Adelaide fans. This show, of course, dominates over there, Duck. It's extraordinary. About 8 people to 1 listening to this than anyone else on this time of day in Adelaide. So they'll be very excited.
Well, they knew their captain and the next star of their club was going to have a chat this morning, so they would have tuned in for that.
He can't even say that seriously, Duck, can he? He can't even get that out seriously.
He can't.
Look at the stupid head on him. You were there for a minute.
Yeah, 5 games or something.
28 games.
Oh. Hit the point post or something.
8 games.
Hey, Rory Sloan, enormous, as we finish on him, Purple. What a footballer that bloke is. Wouldn't you love to do anything following him down the race?
Oh, wouldn't you? And given he had that serious surgery only a matter of a month ago, came back as though he didn't miss a beat. And just to sign off on that incident we did refer to in the conversation with Tex Walker, I've had a look at it probably 15, 20 times. I can't see how he misses a grand final, possibly
Mick
on the
Mick Martin
back
broke
of
a bloke's jaw and played a grand final.
It broke Simon Black's jaw.
So you're not missing with that.
No, it wasn't on camera, fortunately for Mick, but he did do that. Although in the same game, I think you'll find that Jason McCartney didn't he, when he got Clark Keating, Jim. But no, you're not missing a grand final for that. And look, whether the match review panel wants to admit this or not, they do canvass public opinion and also other opinion. That is, it's the grand final at stake. He will be playing.
Brian, do you think the Adelaide Crows players actually liked Duck when he was there?
No. No, I think. Well, I think they liked him off the field.
I was
going to say, I reckon they might have liked him too much.
Not on. So just by the way, while I was at that footy club, while I was there, Mark Rusciuto won the Brownlow and came runner up in the 2 years I was there.
So what?
And reckons he'd never had a better time off the ground in his life. Yet he played his best footy. I made players better.
So what, Bristol reckons?
Hey, by the way, just a question without notice. Brownie, you'd be probably the main brain to answer this, given the way you answered the last question. So Adelaide haven't got any players that have played in a grand final before.
No.
So Richmond, got any players that played in the grand final?
GWS would be a rarity.
I think you got to go back to the 1800s.
Stevie J.
Wow.
Yeah, Stevie'd be the only one if they get through. So and if it's Richmond Bristol, I think I'm right in saying
you
got to go back to the previous century, real early.
Mm.
It's going to be extraordinary.
Wow.
Now, just a couple of little things here we're going to get through. But when you're part of the Triple M team, you've always got to be expecting the question to come your way. And it's important that you're ready to go.
What they're doing better than anybody else is it's a full ground. Well, what I was doing at that stage, Ryan, I'd had a bet on Chatura Race 2, just out of the corner of my eye, I was
you
trying to
believe
see
that.
What was going on, and Jim just floated some Dorothy
Brian.
Dick's question at me.
Steve from Hoppers Crossing sent an email, the same thing. What exactly was it that Adelaide do better than it?
So, now, you know, when you're talking to players, you all ask silly questions, and, you know, but we've been pretty good, I think. We ask, you know, good questions. Our man Howie, who's a great operator, he's more a tappet head. He's more your motor racing sort of guru.
T20, big bash.
He's a big Porsche and Bogan. And Howie, he got a little bit excited about the grand final last night. He was interviewing on Triple M Football on the Friday night, Brad Crouch, and he asked him this incredibly in-depth question.
Hey, Brad, Howie, just before I let you go, congratulations, mate. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge opportunity for us.
Are you excited about having won a prelim and playing in a granny for the first time? No, Howie. Now,
got a little snippet here, Bristol?
I've got a little snippet here. Yes. This is an interesting one because, put it to Duck and Brownie and Damo and yourself,
yes.
JB.
Yes.
You, if you were going to a grand final, who would you want to go with? You know, you'd go with your friends or
that's
your family.
It. Yes.
Or mates, whatever,
yep.
And you'd go along, you have a nice day, have a frothy, and that. But it is, it has become apparent, and this is well, it's true. it's become apparent that a very highly qualified superstar of our game, recently retired,
yes.
has decided on grand final day rather than going off with the mates or the family or even the wife, perhaps even the kids. He has decided to pocket a handful of loot.
Really?
And he is going to sit with a corporate and talk tactics through the grand final.
So the corporate is paying him to talk tactics.
Yeah, so they're going to have a little sit there and they're going, half forward flank.
Well, it would, 100%. And now you said superstar.
What
so
would you do now?
You can narrow it down to at least, there were four or five absolute champions that have recently
retired.
Do they
work here?
It won't be Hodgie because I can guarantee you he'll be around a group of mates. There's no doubt about that. So you can put a line through him. Now it won't be Nick Riewoldt because I just know Rui and
he's
not a people person.
No,
he actually has the possibility about him.
I don't think it's
he's going to be with us. Most
I don't
probably.
Think it's Nick Riewoldt.
Anyway, it's a very highly
so is this person sort of vertically challenged?
This is a very interesting thing that is you would go to the grand final and sit with someone you don't necessarily like.
Vertically challenged and really good on both sides of his body.
Anyway, what's Duck talking about?
What are you talking about?
Come on, Duck.
Well, I'm talking is this person.
Anyway,
narrow it down.
It doesn't matter who it is.
It does
matter who it is.
And a champion player that's vertically challenged, it's very good on his left foot.
Brian, tell us something we don't know is actually...
And means... he's not a left footer.
Anyway. A Brownlow medalist, Bristol?
That's all I've got to say.
It's a Brownlow medalist, bro.
Thought we do these things a little quieter.
Is he a chunky sort of character?
Anyway, that's happening. That's happening at the G. Jeez, so the guys bought him a ticket and said, can you sit there and talk tactics with
me? How much?
Oh, crikey.
Tactics?
What are we talking, 10, 15?
I'm thinking a substantial amount.
Over.
Hey. Over the halfway mark, if you know what I mean.
Nice. Hey, Duck, tell us about Tom Hawkins and where his footy sits and is going.
I honestly don't think they played well enough. They didn't use Tom and they didn't use the footy well. So for me, it's very easy sometimes to just go, you know what, Tom didn't have a great day. I thought he led up. Look, he didn't get a lot of the footy. Didn't have one of his best games. But
I reckon he had about one or two quality one-on-ones, and that.
Yeah,
was it.
That's what I mean. I don't put it down to Tom. I put it down to the way they played. I reckon he had a good year. He didn't have a great year. He had an okay year. But I think it's a bit harsh to be laying blame on a key forward when they played the way they did last night.
Okay, I'm more talking about over the course of the final series. 13 possessions last week in a goal in a winning team. Not much the week before in a losing team against Richmond. So for me with him, it's more if they've got to take a step forward, how do they do that and get the best out of him at the same time?
Yeah, okay. So the week before against the week against Richmond, he was the best big man on the ground, but he got it all up the ground, remember? He got it, none of it deep inside 50. For me, for Tom Hawkins, and what surprised me is this Telstra tracker that they're doing, how far he's covered in the last three finals. He needs to spend more time inside 50. So you can work up the ground, but invariably you have to get ball closer to goal. And that's where he's most dangerous. He's got to be taking contested marks. He's a good mark when he uses his body well.
I've heard you say that before, though, Doug. So why are we still having this debate about him, given he's now a long way into this career, which has still got question marks around it, sometimes in a big game?
I'll tell you what he needs. He needs some support. Because when he's the only kingpin up there, then they're just so easy to defend. And when he played his best footy, he had Harry Taylor up there, and Harry Taylor engaged. He also, he made players, he led to good positions, so players had to engage Harry. So therefore, it gave him one-on-ones and it gave him space. He hasn't had that all year, and he didn't have that last night. And if if you're the only focal point, it's just so easy for defences to say, okay, well, we know where it's going predominantly.
Okay, well, they don't have someone on their books then, do they, reliably to help
No, they need.
Out.
No, so, they need.
So we're talking about Ablett coming in. You saying Ablett playing forward, does that help him?
Absolutely it does. Anchored? Absolutely yeah. it does. Cocker too. Obviously didn't play much footy when
Stringer, if he gets
he's in their best 18. If Stringer's there, makes a massive difference. And I just reckon he's got no support.
Interesting to hear Chris Scott's thoughts about all of this because don't worry, they'll ferociously review that game last night.
And just to answer your question before about the grand final players playing, if Richmond were to play Adelaide, you're right, JB, it goes back to 1898. Ooh, that both sides won't have had a representative that's played in a grand final.
In the grand final. Played on, just finishing on Hawke Browning, played on an unbelievably good one-on-one defender last night. Talia, not as offensive as the Rances and the rest of it in the comp, but
that's
comes
his
to
role, yeah.
Exactly. Stopping the key of the other mob, he is extraordinarily good at it.
The forwards I speak to, out of everybody, I mean, Rances is the number one defender, but as a forward, and the ones I've spoken to, Talia is the one that they can't get off. They always feel like they're an opportunity to get the footy with Rance because he does bound off and he does try and get his own footy, where Talia, that's what he does. He locks somebody down. He's in that Max Hudgdon, scenario, who and forwards used to hate playing on him.
And he does do it really well. I just say he's one of the best in the competition of doing. But the thing that he's got to be careful of is not wanting to create himself as the loose man when they do sort of alternate, because that's not his go. And he has fallen into that a lot this year, where he's become the loose and he hasn't got the artillery to be the loose. He's got the artillery to tackle the big fella on the other side, and that's what he does best.
And we took an enormous amount of piss out of Ned Kelly before, and he deserves it too. Very boring man. Boy. But his young bloke has what a fantastic story he is. 25, 30 games ago, Bristol, we were all looking at Jake Kelly and wondering if he had any future in the comp, let alone with Adelaide. And he has become so important to what they do, and it's on the back of an extraordinary amount of hard work. Well done.
And you say hard work. Give an insight into Jake Kelly. He's the sort of guy that 2 years ago, even at TAC Cup level, that was weighing his food. You know, I'll have one bean and I'll have a bit here and that. So that's the sort of guy he was. That's the sort of length he went to try and give himself an opportunity. He only just got the opportunity under Phil Walsh to play footy. But, so he's that sort of guy. Dot the I's, cross the T's. He has done everything he can to make himself better. And I'm talking a lot more of those little things than other players that have got a bit of
because he needed to
because he didn't have the natural ability,
and also had to turn Don Pike around, because when Don Pike got there after Walshy, he spent the next 20 games in the twos and he basically did. Said, look, you're not in my best team, but he had to work his ass off to convince the new coach that he was worthy of playing. I reckon it's a brilliant story, and he's playing a grand final now. Well done to him.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. Now, at times, the episodes get pretty emotional, like Ricky Ponting talking about his son.
Two lots of 3 weeks at a time in intensive care where you're just not really sure what's going to happen. But no, he got through the first one fine. And then when he got to 6 months of age, he had another pretty serious infection that we didn't know anything about, the doctors didn't know much about. And yeah, that was the scariest one, because he was sort of shut down sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes. And
I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
Fucking deep breath and get on with it, eh?
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Tell us something you don't know, Nafe.
We as a footy club are very good at getting ahead of ourselves. I remember when we were up and flying, we got ahead of ourselves a couple of times. But if they play in the grand final next week.
Richmond.
Yes, Richmond, which I think they will. Somebody has already told me there's a tattoo parlour not far down the road that is owned by former superstar, small man with real little feet, Jake King. Jake the push-up king. Now, I'm not sure how many push-ups he did that way, Jim. I don't think he was a 380, told everybody. But I've been told that 4,000 inquiries to City of Ink about
4,000
a Richmond Premiership tattoo already. 4,000 Richmond supporters wondering about tattoos.
Well, we can actually confirm that, because we might have the little man on the phone right now. Push up.
Hello, JB. How are you, brother?
Do you hear what your former teammate, Naif Brown, said?
Well, the first disturbing part is that piece of shite, one Nate Brown, was on the Western Bulldog bandwagon.
Yeah. He was. Well, so,
it's what you get when you play for two clubs.
He said we. I don't like we at all. He's not part of our club, boys. He's the most individual person I've ever come across in my life. As the rest of you boys there know, I'm excited just like every other Richmond supporter out there. And as I'm a man of the people, just like you, JB, yes. Ben Bristle, yes. Not like Nathan, Ducks, thereabouts, yeah. But we can still work with you.
So, Jakey, if you had to stand, if Richmond go on and they win and, you know, it goes well for them, if you had to standardise a tattoo, you know, for all Richmond supporters, and you could say, you know, come into Ink City down here in Clarendon Street. Come in down here. We're going to give you all the same standard tattoos so that in 30 years they could all get together and show their tat again. What would you give them and how much would it cost?
Well, that's pretty much how long's a piece of string. A tattoo can either come the size of a 50-cent piece or it can be the size of a back.
The size of a phone we're looking at.
So I'm happy for you boys because you boys do the right thing by all the Richmond supporters and are on them. And BT, because you and Duck actually picked our boys from the word go,
yes.
I'm happy to have you boys come up with a number that you think's reasonable. Now, like I said, Nathan Brown actually come up with 5%. Now, he's a twat. So we're not giving him 5%. That's absolutely ridiculous. So I'm thinking somewhere along the lines of at least a minimum 20% off.
20% off.
So 20% off.
At
nice.
Least.
So, all right. But very good.
And Jakey,
it's not the old car sales thing, though, is it? You overinflate the retail and knock off 20.
Jakey, would you then inject some more money into the overall cost if you do it yourself, though? Because people will want you to do it for them, won't they?
Jeff, in that case, if they're going to get me to do it, we can actually do it cheaper.
Okay.
So because there's a good chance that Premier's 2017 might be spelt wrong. So we'll give him a discount on that, Mahal.
Jake, what happened to you as a youngster? Because you've got an enormous sort of really small leg set up and a funny shaped body as well. I'm not sure what happened to you when you came out.
I tell you what, Nathan, read the papers. They don't lie. I'll see you one day soon walking the street. That's okay.
Hey, push up. No, outside of Matty Richardson, there is only one man who the Richmond faithful get around, and that's the push-up king. This last fortnight must have been enormous for you. Everywhere you walk, you'd have people leaning out of windows and shops and just getting around the little man that put the joint on the map.
It's actually been pretty good, JB. They've come out of the woodwork, mate. I've absolutely loved it, and believe it or not, I've soaked it up. I learned from the best. You boys taught me how to do that, so I've been walking the streets, getting free coffees, walking around, getting free lunch, and breaking in a dinner there. So Duck taught me about the dinner. So
well, I tell you what, if Richmond win, everyone get down to
City of Ink
and get yourself. He's going to come up with a standardised tattoo, the size of a phone.
Tiger.
$100. Get in there, and he'll stamp it on you.
20% off.
20% off the $100. $80.
Now, boys, Nathan said that we. So does that mean Brownie's coming in to get a tattoo too?
No, I'll see
how
we go.
Hang on. Jakey, will you be doing, will you do crows? Because if they get up, I might come in and even get myself a crow.
Silly question, Duck.
We're not doing crows at all.
Do you know that when he does the tattooing, Jake, he actually has to put 3 phone books on top of each other just so he can reach?
You're a man.
Hey, City of Ink, if they get up, good luck with the business coming your way, little man.
No, thank you, boys. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the day just as much as I will.
I know you will. It's what do you? I've got great mates. I've got my own brother Bristle, who is as rusted on a tiger as there's ever been.
Would he tattoo up?
Oh, he already has, but would go again happily. He'd have it all the way up his arm, the same tat. Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm a Richmond man.
Oh, will you pile in?
What about you, Brownie? Bulldogs last year. You're a disgrace. Yeah,
it's been a good couple of years.
He just jumps off. Yeah.
Another club likes you, Brownie. Another club likes you.
And yes, they do, Damien. It's just as 18 clubs don't like you.
Now, how did, Bristol, I know you're a real observer of this last week, how did the national anthem standoff go last night?
Yeah. So it was on again last night, and it was good, perhaps not quite as good, but it was still very, very impressive. And I think it's working for them. I think, look, again, a tiny little thing out of it, but I think more than the opposition side, it brings them together and it gives them a reason to believe.
All right, so if you're GWS or Adelaide, whoever gets through today, are you doing anything to counter them next week?
No, just do your normal thing. I was watching Chris Scott when it happened last night and he almost had a smirk on his face to say, I don't give a stuff about that. But and it probably has no effect on Geelong. In fact, I'm sure it doesn't. But on Adelaide, I'm sure it has an effect on them. And it's a bit of a togetherness thing, I reckon. And they're doing it well.
And they just wait for that extra 5 seconds after it finishes, BT. Yep. What's the logic behind that? Because you analyse this.
I think they want to intimidate. I think even the way they line up, it makes them look like they've got more players on the ground.
Spread it out a bit.
Makes them look bigger. Intimidate the opposition team.
Body language. It's all body language.
As if you're really rock solid together. And one of them broke last night. I don't know who it was, but went a touch early.
Yeah. Hey, Duck, you stood in those same lineups many times. Did you used to try and eyeball someone across the line and just say, I want to see how long you'll hold my gaze?
No, it's funny. Look, you very rarely remember what happens on ground. Yep. You're that focused. But it is a sort of a special sort of moment. I like to sort of look at everyone, see how everyone's looking.
Did people try and get you? Because you were the best player for North Melbourne. And logic would say to me in those sort of days, if you end Carey for the game, like Brereton, you have a very, very good chance to win it. Did you ever...
No one tried to intimidate you, let's put it that way. But I like to look at sort of everyone. I just sort of looked up and down the line. But you're obviously focusing on what
anyone hold your gaze that didn't deserve to? Anyone sort of lock on and you thought, just give me a chance, give me a second.
I'd be looking across there going, he's gone a little bit too far with the oil. Or he's got a new haircut. They're just little things to take you.
Who did you look across and think, I hope you come to me today?
Who was the one? Yeah, who was it?
I don't want to say.
No,
I'd tell you why. Because sometimes you say these things in jest and have a little bit of fun. Then these people get told about it.
He won't be listening.
And then they clearly put it in jest.
And then they get a little bit upset about it.
Who was your...
He's not a Triple M listener.
Your smackdown easy jobber.
No. You know what?
He was a twin.
You can beat your opponents. Don't humiliate them.
He was a twin, Brian.
Well, this is where Ducks' whole Adelaide thing takes another step, because not only is he now claiming them and they're in a grand final, the rest of it,
too much
but
time
Purple, as a, you and I both, North Melbourne disciples, the help he gave him in 1998, by kicking 1-7
to the right of screen
points,
goal, then
that also handed him some silverware.
I'll tell you what, the goal I kicked, though, Brownie, was unbelievable. Sort of went back, shrugged a couple off the ground outside
1-7,
of the boot.
1-7, Brian?
Yeah, 1-7, was it?
No. That's it.
It was a windy day.
I don't remember it. It must have been pretty forgettable.
It was.
2-21 for the club, wasn't it, at that same end?
I think it was.
I wasn't the only culprit.
Yeah, but you're our
By the way,
effectively you went over there and lost them.
By the way, exactly right. I put my hand up. I was getting the ball though.
that sounds like me. I was getting it, but I just couldn't convert.
We got Wayne Campbell coming up shortly, Damo. Let's do a quick bit of trade stuff and Lever we saw last night. Let's start with him.
Yeah, we'll do with Lever. Look, we tried to get something out of Mark Rusciuto last night. He gave us nothing despite him knowing everything that's going on, Jim. But as we said this time last week, two first-round draft picks will be required as the starting point to negotiations, BT, from Melbourne Footy Club to the Crows to get him out. I don't expect it to be as simple as that. I don't expect Melbourne to want to do that, but that will be the starting point of it. There is an awareness of that. Charlie Cameron, interestingly enough, who's gone away from the news lines in recent times over his future, Jim. But
talk about Brisbane and all that.
Yeah, just a family reason or a private reason needing or wanting to go to that part of Australia. And while he has got a contract, there was 6 weeks ago an awareness that was probably going to happen. But gee, if he plays as well as he did again last night, this coming Saturday, and with the relationships he's got at that footy club, there'll be some serious heat to try and make him to reconsider that. Bryce Gibbs, again, as we know, this time last year, tried to get to the Crows. That will happen again.
The trying to will happen again.
I do expect it to happen, but if he's trying to get into a grand final winning team, it just could change things ever so slightly enough to rock that a little bit. Tom Rockliffe will go to Carlton, I believe, either way, whether Gibbs stays or goes, but there's enough evidence now to know that Carlton is very keen on that man.
Right, a man in this exact space, of course, a big part of what the GWS Giants are about today against his old club, Richmond, ironically enough, and it's his birthday as well. I speak of their footy manager, Wayne Campbell, who joins us. Cambo, happy birthday.
Thanks, JB. Very nice of you.
Oh, it's a big game today. Prelim final, I don't get any bigger. You got to this same spot last year. I reckon you got 22 boys who will be chewing on glass.
Yeah, they're pretty keen. Yeah, we've had an interesting year with some ups and downs along the way. Like most sides, I suppose. I think probably Adelaide have been the most consistent throughout, but every other side's had their ups and downs. But disappointing first week against the Crows, but we did see how good they were last night and then pretty good last week. But, I think we go into the game confident.
I know, Wayne, they only lost the prelim last year by a goal, but what did they draw out of that last year that you think they've nailed this year they can improve on?
I think it'll be a similar sort of game, which I suppose most games are, where I think the Bulldogs last year were a bit better around the footy than what we were. So we need to win that contested ball, and we've been pretty good at that. But obviously, the Bulldogs' pressure last year was pretty good as well, and that's what Richmond based their game around. So we just need to withstand that a little bit better than what we did last year.
Walk, as much as you want to prepare your players, there's no preparation that can do the justice to 100,000 Richmond supporters are going to be there today.
No, you're right, Nathan. It'll be something that they haven't experienced before. They've experienced 50,000 at Adelaide Oval, all cheering against them, but I don't know, 85 is a few more than that, I suppose. So whichever way, it'll be a great experience for our club, and it'll be a great experience for Richmond as well, obviously. You'd probably prefer them cheering for you than against you, but ultimately, once it bounces, it's us against them, and we need to play some really good footy either way, no matter where it was played, to beat them, because they're in pretty good form.
With the injuries last week almost a blessing in disguise, obviously if those two players being Mumford and Cameron are available, you're going to pick them. But just the fleet of foot of your side last week, you looked so much more sharper than what you did the week before. It wasn't a great situation to be in, but probably the one that was fortuitous to be eventual last week.
Yeah, I think you're right. Would we have made the same changes? No, we wouldn't, because Shane's been a great ruckman, and Jeremy's, if he's not our best player, he's in the top three. So, and had a really good year, apart from his hamstring problems. But certainly, we moved the ball a bit quicker. Our forwards have been starved of a bit of opportunity in the back half of the year. We haven't moved the ball as quickly as what we did in the first half of the year. And so any forward line can look like it's not functioning as well if that's the case. So last week, it did work a bit better, though.
When you went through it, the three ex-players in the box here went through it. When the time is nearly there for you as a player, how hard is it to get through those final games when you've made your mind up? And obviously I refer there to Stevie Johnson's six-goal performance last week, and yet the unknown and doubt about his body this week made it a dominant news line.
Yeah, I don't think the coming to an end is a problem for him. He's, as everybody sort of testifies, he's one of the more competitive people that have played the game. So his will is there, his mind is there. Even that Geelong game round 23 where he didn't play well and we didn't play well, it wasn't for lack of want. His legs just wouldn't take him there. But he's had two or three weeks of really good training. And why that is, we don't know. You know, we've been trying different things during the year, but he was able to, he moved pretty well. I know people said he didn't get a lot of the footy in the first half last week, but I think he was actually moving pretty well and put on some really good tackles. So we're certainly hoping that he can, if he gets half of that performance this week, we'd be pretty happy.
And there's no doubt, as we speak now, at 20-2 before the game starts, long before, there's no doubt there'll be he's in the team as you speak.
Oh, absolutely, done. Yep, no doubt.
Hey, Wayne, you tried something different at training in preparation for the massive crowd that's going to be there today and played some loud music and all that sort of stuff. How's that gone, and how do you actually prepare these players for what they're about to cop? And I'm sorry if you've already been asked that, but I was I bought it out of the box.
You went and got a pie, didn't you?
It was actually a no, it was McDonald's.
That was a different question. We did have the music during the week, but we have done that during the year. So we've done that, whether it's been just at Tom Wheels at our facility or out at Spotless, we've had the music played. We did turn it up a little bit, just to, you know, to, I suppose there's two parts to the noise. One is the emotional side of it, and that's really hard to judge. But then there's the mechanical side of just not being able to hear. So that's been a bit that we've talked about. Leon, to be honest, has talked about it for, you know, a total of sort of 1 minute about, but we know what we're going to confront. We don't know the effect it'll have, but, you know, we need to get back to just playing our game. But it will be harder to talk and communicate and instruct. So that was sort of the basis behind that.
I want to know, you've worked personally closely with Brett Delidio this year as he's worked through those calf problems. And last week's game, where he just seemed to get a little bit of form for the first significant time anyway in this comeback. How did you find that?
Yeah, obviously a different role done off halfback. I mean, he'd been building really well in the, or whatever, 4 weeks before the Geelong game. Played okay. Yeah, actually, in the Geelong game, he was actually probably one of our only two or three players that probably got a pass mark. Adelaide game, as I said, no, none of our forwards really had much of it because of the way we played. So I decided to put him back to halfback, and it is, you know, it is just a bit of an easier game from halfback with the games all ahead of you. And he's played a multitude of roles during his time at Richmond, one of them being at halfback. So it was pleasing. He looked sharp. He looked quick. He's certainly still got his pace. So again, we'd be looking to back that up again today.
Walker, as a former captain of the club, obviously you're playing against your old side today. You obviously want GWS to win, but I'd imagine if you don't win this game, you'd be very, very excited to see where this footy club's got to.
Yeah. I mean, they've had a terrific year. I mean, our focus this week has obviously just been on us, and we know that they're the opposition. And there's you know, with Brett playing his 250th game, it's a magnificent achievement. But he's you know, he's led the way, and it's about us. It's a prelim final. It doesn't get any bigger than this, apart from next week, obviously. But we want to get to that one step further. So we need to just focus on. There's 22 of them and 22 of us, and get the job done.
And what I have noticed, you went up to Sydney with very short haircut, and you seem to have started to grow your hair again. You're really easing yourself into the Sydney life, aren't you?
No. The photo you sent me the other night must have been just a bad angle, mate. The hair's still fairly short.
It was a shocking angle.
Hey, Cambo, we wish you well, mate. It is going to be an enormous day for your footy club. Prelim final, MCG, sun shining, 100,000. I don't reckon for your 22 players, especially the sort of 17 or 18 who are, you know, 24 and under, you could get. They'll learn 40 games worth in 2 hours.
Yeah, I think you're right, JB. It's been wonderful. We played two finals last year. We've got three this year. You've got a, you know, young guy like Jacob Hopper, who's only 19. He's played five finals already. So, you know, young guy Tim Taranto in his first year playing his second final. So a magnificent experience for the 22, for our whole club. We're bringing our whole playing list down to experience what it's like.
Really?
And for our whole club, really. So it's going to be a great experience. We're there to win, though.
We're here. 3 hours to game time, Cambo. Won't surprise you. The queues are already massive at the MCG. So it will be rocking and rolling. Come bounce. Good luck.
Thanks, boys.
Happy birthday to the GWS footy manager, Wayne Campbell.
Got nice pipes.
Now, that is
it's catchy, Jim.
Lisa, who's the very beautiful mum of our man, Chris Judd. And we played that coming out of the break because it's my understanding the Killers locked in grand final entertainment, but that might be taken up a notch, Juddy, as we welcome you.
My popular demand, JB. It's a real creeper, that song, and I'm assured it's charging up the iTunes charts as we speak.
Oh, I know nothing about this, Juddy. What the hell is going on? Yeah.
It's a Friday huddle thing, BT. But well, tell him, Juddy.
I just don't know whether you guys know, but there's not a lot listen to the Friday huddle. They dominate. But tell us what's going on.
Well, it's a special song she wrote a few years back, BT, just celebrating my football career and just a very special moment between mother and son. I know you don't particularly like parents and children sharing any special moments together, BT, but it's
it's something that's going to happen on Saturday on the grand final day, and very exciting for the Judd family.
And the backstory too, Juddy, just to give BT, it was nearly played at the 2005 grand final on the back of Lisa playing that song that we just played then on the footy show that year, yeah?
Yeah, obviously Lisa's had an extensive career in touring, and that was one of her hits in the early 2000s. And there was a push after it featured on the footy show for the AFL to play it on grand final day 2005, which is it. As a 22-year-old who ended up playing his first grand final that year, it probably wasn't at the top of my list I was keen to see in the grand final entertainment. So ended up putting a media ban, but she's finally had a day in the sun, BT, and it's going to be a very special day on Saturday.
Now, Chris, was there any chance along the way in this last 3 weeks where this has come to light that you could have knocked this on the head?
Who's that?
Brownie.
I didn't know you were still at the station.
At the end.
I thought you had taken your spot. You're still here. Oh, that's good.
I am very much still here, Chris.
Yes. Good, Nathan. I want to knock it on the head, Nathan.
Well,
embrace it.
Well, that's not what you were saying off air.
No. very excited about this. And a great commercial opportunity for us as well. Obviously, we've got the T-shirts being made up and... looking at a few different options. I think Kadinsky's been on the phones trying to get involved, so it's going to be huge.
Now, Juddy, the only thing I want to know is not only is your beautiful mum, this is at the OB we do the grand final every year, not only is your beautiful mum going to turn up and perform playing football, are you going to join in and is it going to be a duet? A
little dance or something.
Wouldn't have thought so, JB. Oh! I wouldn't have thought so.
Just off to one side, Juddy.
Not a Jackson 5 sort of style, get the whole family involved, Juddy.
She doesn't like to share the limelight. There's Louie. She wants it all to herself, and that's what she'll be getting on Saturday.
But you'll be there watching. You know, you'll slide off to one side of the stage, and you'll be there. And
surely,
emotionally.
I wouldn't miss it. It's the hottest ticket in town, BT. Yeah.
Surely you could grab a tambourine or something or a triangle.
Look, I might bring my lighter and put that up in the air during the second verse.
Going to be wearing that Ron Jeremy polo you wore last night too. Really swinging 60s. That one
looked like a licorice all sort.
Oh, look, it's a risk being ahead of the curve, Brownie. I told you that. That's where the rewards are. And if Duck will be wearing that next year, he'll finally move on to the colour shirt with the V-neck sweater and, something a bit more fashion forward.
Juddy, we had Sam Doherty on the Rush Hour during the week, and I said to him, of course, how have you viewed your former teammates' entry into the media this year? Are you surprised at how weird he is? And Sam Doherty, without blinking, said, I'm surprised he's not a whole lot more weird.
Well, he's seen the real me for a little while. Now you guys are getting exposed to it. So it's good that I can finally be myself, JB.
I like it. I absolutely love it. All right, well, we look forward to meet you, Mum Lisa. We're playing football, and that is, of course, during the grand final OB and the car park to the MCG. Bristle, can't wait.
Oh, I'm all over it.
There it is.
Looking forward to it, JB.
This is what you'll hear, Ryan. Well done. This has been a Friday night campaign, Nath. It's gone all year.
It has been.
That's Juddy's mum.
Exactly, yeah. Juddy's mum. She's going to sing.
Is she a singer?
She's a singer, and that is her song. And as Damo said, we're back to 2005 on the footy show. I remember it. I wasn't involved in the show, just watching it at home. And it dominated that particular episode. And then, as we said, it was almost a 2005 grand final edition.
Until Juddy got aware of it late in the piece and pulled the pin on it.
Knocked it right on the head.
And now he sees a commercial opportunity.
Yeah.
He does.
There'd be something like that involved, wouldn't there?
Mm, boy.
It's funny, everyone, not Sam Doherty during the week, but every one of the Carlton players that come into the Rush Hour studio with Bill and myself, who we ask about Juddy, all say the same thing. And that is, he's a whole lot weirder than he's going on air with.
Jimmy, weird. Couldn't be much. There must be a limit somewhere.
I don't think
what
there
we've
is.
Seen as this year's progressed, BT, I know you don't listen to us, you're on air at the same time on Channel 7, but the man since round one through to this period is a different person.
Very.
And there's not much more scope to be weird.
Well, I'm just quoting these boys. They all say he's got more gears. He's got gears that get weirder, which I think is hilarious. Hey, we spoke earlier, Duck, to the Texan right off the top of the show, and he was amazing. He's always been great to us, Tex, of course, the superstar skipper of the Adelaide Crows, who are now playing in a grand final. And we asked him about the big contest between Rory Sloane and Danger, which left Danger poleaxed on the ground. And it was a big sort of physical statement in the game. And we just asked him, maybe Tex, whether Danger didn't bounce up quite quick enough. And this was his response. When Sloaney sat Danger on his ass, did he stay down a bit, Tex? Or how did you see it?
Oh,
did he stay down? It was like he was up on the, someone was doing a bridge climb, a roof climb, sniping him. It was just two blokes going bloody hard at the footy, and I loved it. That's what footy's about.
So he'll be playing in the grand final, Rory, in your eyes, Tex?
Well, wouldn't he be?
Exactly. Just wondering.
We're with you, Tex. Don't worry about that. I enjoyed the physical nature of the contest, and I just wondered if one was down a bit longer than the other. That's all, Texan.
Yeah, well, we probably know who's a tougher one out of there, don't we?
What about that, Bristol? That last comment just slipped out.
That would just irk Danger a little.
Yeah, a bit of venom in it.
We probably both know, we all know, who's the tougher out of the pair. What about that for a clip?
Sniper from the roof climbed you?
What we need to do, and it was the same with Jerker last week when he had those comments, these are all great mates of
Yes,
Danger's. People will all be out there reading something into that. They're all great mates once the thing stops, and you would have found this stuck when you played for Adelaide against North, your old mates. There's lots of bullschlacken spoken outside the game, but you're actually... They are all great mates.
They are. And the big Texan, there's always a little bit of truth in jest.
And this is part of the problem in modern society. A little bit of truth in jest. They do like it.
Yeah. And they own a pub. I'll tell you what,
that was a fierce contest, wasn't it? I mean, that was two. And in actual fact, it surprised me that neither of them got more seriously hurt because it was pretty sort of front on contact. Neither really protected themselves all that well, did they?
Duck, Mark Ricciuto was covering the game for Triple M at the time, and I think he had a view that Danger might have stayed down a bit long, but that is in keeping with Ricciuto's attitude to people getting hit.
You know what? I said this when Kane Corns made his comments during the year. Dangerfield is not only an absolute brilliant footballer and a champion, he's an entertainer. And a part of that is about the theatre of it.
Yep.
No doubt.
So you reckon he stayed in a bit longer for the entertainment component in a prelim final?
I'm not saying on that contest, but there's a real theatre and an entertainer about
Danger. Initially, he sort of stayed down in the first second because he thought he might have been able to get a free out of it.
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Anyway, anyone that has a look on social media at the photo of that, you can get a close-up photo of that. Yeah. Boy, just tune in and you'll find one floating about.
This is as they hit each other or on the deck?
No, once Danger's on the deck and no one else is in the picture except Danger with lying on back.
He's got a pill hanging out.
You see Danger's plums.
He's split one open.
Oh, no.
And just have a look at the photo.
How does a modern player achieve that, Nate? Because they're normally wearing a bike pant or something underneath. How does a plum slide out?
How would you notice that, BT?
It's a strange thing to notice.
No one else I've known today spoken to has noticed that.
He had a real focus on it.
It's a waste operator.
It's get out there, good boy energy. It's got a bit of that about it. Good boy energy.
Hang on, Speedo. One can slip out the side. Remember Ange Christou?
Yeah.
The whole thing slipped down.
Yeah.
It touched his knee.
The snake and everything.
Running down the wing of the MCG.
The sausage.
I didn't know which was going to kick
well
the footy.
As well as the beans.
That or the leg.
All right, we've had lots of fun. We are going to get ourselves ready, Bristol. 4 o'clock, we are locked into the MCG. Can't wait for that. Going to be enormous.
Got a guest?
Yes, Lepper. Justin Lepich is coming on. Forward to that from the Richmond Footy Club. He's requested a certain sort of hearing.
Yeah, no media involvement. No media people involvement, which is, of course, Damo. So
love that.
Didn't want him in it.
Can't wait.
Look at this week last year.
Look at this day, Duck. It doesn't get any better for a prelim.
Nah, absolutely gorgeous. It is like last night, perfect. We might get a little bit of the same, maybe a little bit of rain later, but that won't affect this. This is going to be an absolute ripper. Cannot wait.
Look forward to all of your boys' company. 4 o'clock, MCG, Hosemary. Brilliant job. Well done. Our man, the snorkel, the old massive nose, Tunnel Cliff.
Where is he?
Already buggered off to get a haircut. That's how committed he is to the cause. That just shows where that man's at. His axis is completely skew-whiff. He has disappeared that far up his own freckle he can't see. We are going. We'll see you back at 4 o'clock for the Fiat Professional. This is the Triple M Saturday Rub for McDonald's. Triple M rocks. Finals footy.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.